Okay, so we've got this big strategic vision for the future. But at the same time, we're hearing about alleged misconduct, lavish spending, and a toxic work environment. The Girl Scouts seem to be losing their way. In part two, we're going to dig deeper into the potential reasons for this decline and explore the broader context, what was happening at the Girl Scouts during this time.
Imagine you're a legacy organization rooted in tradition, and suddenly you're facing pressure to modernize, find new sources of income, and appeal to younger generations. It's a tightrope walk, and the Girl Scouts weren't the only ones trying to find their balance.
So are we saying it's not just about one bad apple CEO? Then maybe there are deeper forces at play here.
Of course, leadership plays a huge role, but it's often intertwined with these broader organizational challenges. Think about it. You have established ways of doing things, and people who have dedicated their careers to a certain vision.
Especially when it comes to something as deeply personal as the Girl Scouts. It's not just a job. It's tied to childhood memories, values, maybe even a sense of identity for some people.
Absolutely. There's a strong emotional component. And then you add in things like internal power dynamics. It's a recipe for potential conflict. And remember, this is all happening while the media is watching closely. In fact, that lavish spending on the CEO's office and bathroom, that quickly got the media's attention and started generating some negative headlines.
Which is a perfect segue to what I've been thinking about. Even if some of these issues are common in nonprofits, once they become public, the damage is done. How much do you think that negative press contributed to the Girl Scout struggles?
That's a key piece of this puzzle. Public perception is everything for an organization like the Girl Scouts. They rely on donations, volunteers, and parents feeling good about the organization. When you have headlines about financial mismanagement and internal turmoil, it erodes that trust.
The internal problems lead to negative press, which then makes those problems harder to solve because now you've got this public relations crisis on your hands.
Exactly. And those negative stories could spread like wildfire online.
Let's go back to those specific examples from the letter. Those really highlight the human impact of what was happening, right?
Absolutely. It's easy to get lost in the abstract, talk about organizational change. But these stories put a face on the consequences, like the IT director, who was publicly humiliated by the CEO during a meeting, and then shortly thereafter replaced.
That must have been incredibly demoralizing for everyone who witnessed it. It sends a message that this is a workplace where you could be treated disrespectfully no matter your position.
And remember, this was the IT director, someone crucial for implementing that digital strategy they were so focused on. Then there's the story about the CEO dismantling the highly successful 100th anniversary campaign.
Didn't that campaign bring in a huge amount of money for the organization?
It was a major fundraising triumph. And according to the letter writers, the CEO essentially threw it all away.
Okay, so we're not just talking about hurt feelings here. These were decisions that had a real, tangible impact on the organization's resources and ability to achieve its goals.
And when you consider that backdrop, the declining membership, the negative press, the internal turmoil, it begs the question, did any of the strategic plan's good intentions actually work?
Right. They wanted to modernize, diversify revenue streams, attract more girls. Did any of that happen?
Unfortunately, the evidence suggests otherwise. As we mentioned, membership continued to decline. We don't have the financial data from our sources to analyze their revenue diversification efforts.
So while the plan might have looked good on paper, the execution seems to have fallen far short.
And that raises the question, why?
It's almost as if the plan itself wasn't the problem, but the way it was implemented.
And in part three, we'll look at lessons we can learn from this deep dive into the Girl Scouts' tumultuous past.